With the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Taylor Hillman.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, the end of the week. A week where Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue made lots of headlines as he spoke very frankly about trade deals during a question and answer session at the USDA headquarters. We will get to those in just a minute. He spoke about tariffs, NAFTA, the TPP, and even California's immigration reform concerns. Brian German also has a very interesting story on some more simple soil pathogen testing technology that's gaining some momentum. And we'll hear from California Citrus Mutual about their citrus showcase and several issues going on currently in the industry. So let's get right to it with today's top stories. Many agriculture leaders and analysts fear trade retaliation after the tariffs on steel and aluminum were announced last week by President Donald Trump.
I plan to tell the president he's got them just where he wants them, and let's use this off-balance technique here to decide what we would like in exchange for that, whether it's Mexico, Canada, or our EU partners as well.
That was Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue at a Wall Street Journal event this week, albeit said with a half smile. Perdue said he understands the concern, but that there is definitely some opportunity here as well.
And if this has an impact in us completing a beneficial NAFTA deal for the United States producers, then that's a great result. Hopefully we won't need to. I think the president has left a window open regarding other countries. If we can, again, maintain relationships with our allies that make sense, I think the concern that many of us have is that most people believe that China has been the real issue, and this will alienate us against our allies that we need in order to compete with China in many areas, particularly issues like intellectual property transfers, forced transfers, theft, and those kind of things.
Perdue also spoke very bluntly about the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. The deal has been widely talked about amongst U.S. speculation, and Perdue says it's definitely a possibility, but it would be seemingly very difficult.
I think we ought to take it seriously. We're not giving up on any of those aspects. We'd love to be involved in that global deal. As you know, and the president stated many times over, he prefers bilateral deals rather than multilateral deals. The other challenge to that process is the TPP was negotiated over a number of years, and these other countries are not necessarily clawing to reopen those negotiations. And I think they frankly would be still happy to have the U.S. join at the deal that was made, but I don't know how that would satisfy President Trump's better deal challenge.
As AgNet West has reported over the last week, the California Farm Bureau Federation has said they cannot support the current immigration reform being discussed that includes the Ag Act, which would require workers to touch back to their home country for a period of time before returning to the U.S., and employers to use the E-Verify system. CFBF believes these will further complicate labor challenges here in the state, and they took employers and their employees to Washington to voice their concerns. Talking at the Wall Street Journal event this week, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue said those California concerns are being heard, but that we need to start somewhere when it comes to reform.
And we've heard them loudly and clearly, and we don't disagree with that. And the fact that I don't know that they want to continue using an illegal workforce, which is currently occurring out there in many places today, we are hopeful that some type of agricultural workforce, legal workforce, can be included in any kind of immigration a debate that takes place. And we've been supportive of the Goodlatte bill. We were frankly more enthusiastic about the original bill that Chairman Goodlatte had, although we have got to start somewhere.
Now here's Brian German.
Soil pathogen testing is an essential tool for growers, but the process can often be expensive and time-consuming. Research being conducted by plant pathologists at Washington State University has resulted in a much simpler testing method. The tests themselves are a means to detect disease-causing pathogens in soils that have the potential to cause massive damage in crops. The tests have also traditionally required large expensive equipment or lab tests that can take weeks before results come back. The researchers have now produced a device that uses magnets to capture the DNA of pathogens from the soil in the field. Using a portable real-time PCR detection system, the test can now be performed on-site, accurately, quickly, and inexpensively. The system has been tested on potato fields around eastern Washington, but it can be used in soil anywhere. The results of the research have been published in the Journal of Visualized Experiments and includes a video showing how to assemble and use the system, along with a full list of materials needed to use their method. The National Cotton Ginners Association elected a Californian as president during its annual meeting in February. President and CEO of the California Cotton Ginners and Growers Association, Roger Isom, offered some background on the new 2018 NCGA president, Stanley Creelman, from Mid Valley Cotton Growers in the Tulare area.
He's been a longtime gin manager and been involved at the national level for years. He's a past chairman of California Cotton Ginners Association and currently sits on our board of directors. The good thing is about the cotton industry at the national level is we all pretty much think the same way, but there are issues that are germane just to California and to the West. And so it's important that we have representation at the national level, but even more important when our leadership becomes the leadership at the national level. It's a commitment, but it ensures that our voice is heard and that the issues we face here in California and the West are addressed and heard and brought to that national level. So we're very appreciative of the fact that Stan has been appointed the chairman, and we know he's going to do a great job for us, and he'll do a great job for the entire cotton industry.
Representation at a national level is important due to the distinctive regulatory landscape of California.
That's an understatement. When we go to our national meetings, the rest of the country just sits there. They're just amazed with what we have to face here in California that a lot of those other states and cotton and growing areas just don't have to deal with.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We'll have more of the day's agriculture news in just a moment. And remember, you can always get the latest agriculture news from around the state and the nation at our website, agnetwest.com. We'll be right back.
AgNet West Radio Network.
California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson says he's reassured
your trusted agriculture news provider for the state of California. Stay up to date with the latest agriculture news from AgNet West Radio Network and online at agnetwest.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. The National Association of Farm Broadcasters is reporting that Bayer confirmed this week that the company is in exclusive talks with BASF regarding the sale of Bayer's entire vegetable seed business, a move it expects to help it win approval of its acquisition of Monsanto. The move, according to Bayer, is part of its effort to address concerns made by the European Commission regarding the Bayer-Monsanto deal. The European antitrust regulator, which has raised concerns that the Monsanto acquisition could pressure farmers, is expected to make its decision on the Monsanto deal by April 5th, though it could issue a ruling earlier, according to Dow Jones. Bayer had already agreed to sell selected crop science businesses to BASF for $7.3 billion last October. The first deal covers Bayer's LibertyLink technology for herbicide tolerance and essentially all of the company's field crop seed businesses and related research and development capabilities.
Well, in today's livestock news, during the recent cattle industry convention, National Cattlemen's Beef Association board members discussed various issues, including sustainability. NCBA President Kevin Kester says sustainability is a part of NCBA's long-range plan, and it means a lot.
It means a lot because we've got major companies like Walmart, McDonald's, and Wendy's, and others trying to figure out how they want to market to the consumer because the consumer's asking them to be sustainable. And what is sustainability? So there is a group of concerned entities from producers to retailers and everything in between to come up with a definition of what everybody's going to agree upon, what is sustainable, the definition of it. And so that process has been going on almost 3 years, and later this year, late spring or summer, we'll have a public vetting of what proposals are going to be for definitions of that as it pertains to the producer, all the way back to guys like me on the ranch. And mm-hmm. So I think when we have that discussion later this year, producers are going to be pleasantly surprised of what Walmart and McDonald's and the others are going to probably agree to use for marketing. So stand by for that. Pay attention to it when it comes out. But I think we'll be pleasantly surprised.
McKester says sustainability is just one of the many issues they continue to work on. Of course, the Farm Bill is a topic of daily discussions with the NCBA staff in Washington, D.C.
So we have a bright, energetic, dedicated staff in Washington, D.C., on Pennsylvania Avenue, just blocks from the White House and the Capitol, advocating for us each and every day. In doing that, they're advocating for a strong conservation title in the Farm Bill, which includes important programs like EQIP, which a lot of us use in the ranching business, a strong research title to have more research dollars, because I think we're woefully behind decades in research projects for the cattle industry. So we've got some Farm Bill requests for foreign market access programs in development that we want to keep intact or even increase, in addition to the FMD, foot and mouth disease vaccine bank requests that we have. So we're working really hard, and we have been for several months, and I think we've got, for example, Chairman Mike Conway of the House Ag Committee. Mm-hmm. He has listened to us and actually put some of our things on his priority list.
Again, that was NCBA President and California rancher Kevin Kester. And the American Sheep Industry Association sponsored a letter with 208 additional livestock, aviation, sportsmen, civil, conservation, and commodity stakeholders to the House and Senate Appropriations Committee and subcommittee members, urging their continued support for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services. ASI is asking Congress to fully fund Wildlife Services through the fiscal year 2019 appropriations process, plus an increase of $3.4 million in Natural Environmental Policy Act compliance cost. To see those letters, you can go to the ASI website. That's sheepusa.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West. AgriView with Ever Griner is next.
Where do you buy your groceries? Yeah, it's a trend that's changing, by the way. For generations, most families had one store, one supermarket, where they found everything they needed. It's not that way anymore. For the past two decades, more and more families are shopping at two or more places for their weekly supply of groceries. And the current generation, which we call millennials, tend to shop at three or more stores. It isn't price alone that drives this change, although it does play an important part. Price and favorite brands has a lot to do with it. Store brand also is a factor, and naturally quality plays a big part. No retailer can be everything to the average shopper anymore. So the image is changing. Takes more time, but time is not that important. And that's AgriView for today. Everett Griner, AgNet West.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. More agriculture news and farm features are coming up. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. In today's interview segment, we check in with California Citrus Mutual at their annual Citrus Showcase, which happened this week in Visalia, and asked about a few recent rulings that affect the industry.
It's Joel Nelson, president of California Citrus Mutual.
We're here at your Citrus Showcase. Give me a little rundown of Citrus Showcase. We talk about this every year. Tell me what it is, what it's like, what we're doing.
You know, it started off 30 years ago as a little barbecue at the Exeter Memorial Building, and we started to partner up with a few people. And after that, it just exploded. Today, we'll have well over 1,000 growers walking through the exhibit hall, meeting with vendors, networking with each other. We've got 840 reservations for lunch to hear the gentleman, Ray Starling, from the White House Ag Economic Advisor. It's just a wonderful day, three good workshops, and it couldn't be any better than that.
And that's the goal of this, is to kind of unite the industry a little bit, get everybody talking, you get some information here and just get the conversations going.
That's very true. I mean, we try to focus on the workshops, on the issues that are important to the industry. So obviously ACP, HLB, that's this afternoon. Midday, there's going to be new rules regarding the Food Safety Modernization Act, and the state's going to be doing some audits. And hopefully it gets us out of a multitude of audits that are duplicate of each other and can reduce our costs. So we're going to be endorsing that. And then this morning, right now, there's a full workshop going on regarding water. Anything and everything you wanted to know, whether it be groundwater, surface water, it's a full workshop. I'm just stopped by there. Looks like there's a couple hundred people in there.
Everybody knows you guys are lobbying hard. That's one of your guys' biggest thing is you lobby for the grower and the industry.
what is your guys' recent stance? I think I probably know the answer to this, but on the dam building, the infrastructure we're looking at building that water, it got kind of delayed. Yeah. We're still hoping it goes through, but it's frustrating.
It's extremely frustrating, particularly when the Water Commission came out with that report that said none of the projects were eligible. Their definition of public benefit was allowing somebody to swim. Their definition of public benefit was allowing somebody to water ski. It wasn't capturing some of this water that we've been wasting and letting it flow out into the ocean so it can be used to provide swimming, water skiing, but food and fiber more importantly. There are local communities here that don't have a sufficient supply of water because of the regulatory changes that have occurred. This would create more water, so we blasted them. We went out with all the social media. We sent a formal letter, several of my colleagues and I did. This has got to change. We passed Prop 1 6 years ago based upon storage. A deal is a deal.
Yeah, if you don't think water storage for agriculture and cities' water needs, if you don't think that's public benefit, I don't know what is.
It's a warped definition of public benefit coming out of Sacramento right now. Even the governor, which was remarkable, inserted two or three lines in his State of the State address indicating we got to store more water. That repudiated what the Water Commission was saying. I'm convinced of that.
The other one that's frustrating is the recent injunction on pesticide use on public-private property by CDFA. This hits the citrus industry hard because of the HLB-ACP situation, which is being fought in backyards, right?
Potentially it could. We have been in constant contact with the department, with the Secretary of Agriculture, and we're comfortable that the Secretary is now in charge of her own defense for her program. It was parsed out to another agency, and they obviously didn't do as good a job as we would have liked. So as a result of that, we met with the Secretary last Tuesday afternoon, of which a game plan for appeal is going in. If necessary and when necessary, we'll be filing, probably with some colleagues, an amicus brief. We've already sent a letter to the judge. Be mindful of unintended consequences. If we don't have this emergency program, you allow predator fish to expand eating native fish. You expand the bark beetle population in our forest. You allow Pierce's disease and glassy wing sharpshooter to flourish. And oh, by the way, the Asian citrus psyllid and Wanlongbing will expand until you ruin the nation's last citrus industry.
Yeah, this would definitely change how the CPDPP and CDFA works with all they're doing. I know they're doing education, but that front is being fought in backyards, and that could be an issue.
That is where the battle is right now. And we knew this was coming over a decade ago when we initiated the legislation. Unfortunately, we were right. But we have created strong partnerships with homeowners in Southern California. So for the most part, they are being very cooperative in this effort. And we're going to try to keep that population of Asian citrus psyllid and the disease down in LA County and Orange County so it doesn't affect other homeowners, which is extremely important, and other commercial areas down there in Southern California. Like I said, we've talked to the Department of Agriculture here. We've even had conversations with USDA if they could step in under their emergency powers. Because what happens if you don't eradicate and I don't care whether we're talking Wanlongbing or Pierce's disease, you lose an industry, you lose jobs, you lose an economic foundation that supports local communities.
I hate to keep hitting you with bad news, but let's talk about Argentinian lemons. We're gonna end up seeing them here in the States. You guys lost the lawsuit on that. I know we were hoping that was kind of a last-ditch effort to keep it going, but this is a big concern too.
That decision shocked us, quite frankly. The judge basically said, it wasn't my job to evaluate the quality of the work. They pushed all the right buttons. So they did do a trip. Now, whether or not it was the appropriate time, that's not for me to judge. The economic report, well, they did one. Whether or not it was accurate, that's not for me to judge. So he went down step by step by step, challenging and overturning our arguments relative to what USDA had proposed during the process. He said, just because you didn't get a piece of paper that described a trip in 2015, so what? Just because you weren't involved in putting together the operational work plan, their job is to protect you, that work plan must do that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put it out. So he deferred to USDA on everything. It is extremely frustrating, but you're right. We'll probably begin to see some Argentine lemons in the northeast part of the United States for the first 2 years. We'll see them come in here probably late April.
Last thing here is we had the recent freezes. We just talked to you at Commodity Classic about this. How's the industry going? How's the season looking?
The season is outstanding. We've taken our keynote speaker out, and we're looking at beautiful fruit. There was a little bit of damage in some of our mandarins because it did get cold, and it's the latest cold spell I've seen, as I said before. But for the most part, not for the most part, the entire naval industry is looking really, really good. That fruit coming off the tree is bright orange. That fruit coming off the tree is as hard as a rock, and the flavor is just outstanding. Not a lot of fruit this year, but what we've got is just wonderful fruit, and so there's good demand.
Last question here. Labor is a big topic right now. California Farm Bureau came in and said they don't really support the Ag Act. It's requiring workers to touch back to their country. What's your guys' stance on that? You guys waiting it out?
That was the American Farm Bureau that did that. And bluntly, all hell broke loose. And a letter was forwarded on Tuesday, signed by a number of organizations, including the California Farm Bureau, in which we indicated that the existing legislation, the Goodlatte Bill as we call it, that's a non-starter. For us, that has to be defeated because it does nothing for immigration reform. It does nothing for a guest worker program, and it does even less for California agriculture. So we emphasized what needed to be changed, and we sent it to every member of our delegation as well as to the leadership in Congress.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Agnet West's Farm City Newsday. More agriculture news for you now. Bayer holds an advocacy forum every year right before the annual Commodity Classic show. This year, it was in Anaheim. Agnet West's Brian German attended the event and talked to Bayer representatives about the importance and message of ongoing advocacy.
Darren Wallace, Vice President of Communications for North America at the Crop Science Division of Bayer.
And we're here at the 2018 Advocacy Forum, and this is now the 13th year of this event. What is it you guys are doing with these events?
So it is our 13th year doing the Advocacy Forum. Our main objective really is to stimulate terrific conversations, and so we bring ag groups together, we bring food groups together and others, and it's really to have an important discussion about food, agriculture, and how we can reach consumers better, smarter, and farmers at the same time. So it's really about stimulating important discussions and debate.
And that seems important now more than ever with a lot of social media use, consumers being a lot more savvy with where their food is coming from, and it seems that you've got a lot of people here talking about important topics to move agriculture forward.
Absolutely. Social media has exploded. So many people get all their content or a big chunk of their content from social media. So as an ag company and a company that is working to put modern tools into farmers' hands, we think it's important to meet people where they're at, but have a discussion about what the technology does, what it doesn't do, and importantly, how it helps their daily lives in terms of improving food costs and putting safe, affordable food on their table every day.
Because it's not just about helping farmers and the tools that they need. If the consumer is not aware of the values of those, it might not get off the ground.
One of the most important messages I have and a mission that I have is letting farmers know what an important voice that they have. So consumers trust farmers and what they have to say far more than they trust governments. In fact, more than they trust doctors, if you believe it or not, when it comes to food and what comes off the farm. So our goal in advocating is that we let farmers know how important their voice is, but it's important not only in the defense of the tools that they use on their farm, but their actual what they do and the fact that they're sustainable and they're interested in protecting the environment. All those things are important to consumers. So the more we can do as an industry to promote all of those valuable things, we think we're improving the discussion as well as informing and educating a consumer population that's increasingly off farm.
And that's what these events are all about, is just getting the word out of the importance of making sure everyone's informed and informed correctly about what's going on.
There's plenty of misinformation out there. Our jobs as a group of people interested in agriculture is to put the right information in the hands of people, but we also want to stimulate important discussions and make sure that we're meeting people where they're at and making sure that we put the right information, do a little myth busting at the same time.
Now recapping our top story. As Agnet West has reported over the last week, the California Farm Bureau Federation has said they cannot support the current immigration reform being discussed that includes the Ag Act, and they took employers and their employees to Washington to voice their concerns. Talking at the Wall Street Journal event this week, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue said those California concerns are being heard, but that we need to start somewhere when it comes to reform.
And we've heard them loudly and clearly, and we don't disagree with that. And we've been supportive of the Goodlatte bill. We were frankly more enthusiastic about the original bill that Chairman Goodlatte had, although we have got to start somewhere.
To get more information on topics you've heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can also follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German @BrianAgnetWest and Taylor Hillman @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.